सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी। विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैस्साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। भगवान इज नाउ गोइंग टू एड्रेस टू अर्जुन द मैसेज दैट ही वॉन्ट्स टू नो। He is suffering through this grief which he cannot seem to overcome. And he calls it Krupaya Paraya Vishta. He is overcome by this compassion. And that has driven him to be Mudha Cheta. His mental thinking has become deluded. And he says that I am not seeing anybody who is able to get rid of this sorrow for me. The sorrow which is drying up my senses. I don't see anybody who can get rid of it. Even if I were to get the sukha of this world or the afterworld, none of them can save me. Except you. Therefore, you teach me. And Bhagavan starts off by smiling. Prahasanniva. But he's not really smiling. Don't think he's smiling. Because there's a word used called iva. As though. Like smiling. So internally, he has this thought in his mind. That what a situation has come about. But nonetheless, the job has to be done. So therefore, he starts. So what is that message that Bhagavan wants to give? Let us see that. Shloka number 11 is where we start. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochyananvashochastvam Prajnyavadamscha Bhashase Gatasu nagatasuncha Nanushochanti panditaha Together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Ashochyananvashochastvam Prajnyavadamscha Bhashase Gatasu nagatasumscha ನಾನು ಶೋಚಂತಿ ಪಂಡಿತಾಹ. ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಅಶೋಚ್ಯಾನ್ ಅನ್ವಶೋಚಸ್ತಂ ಅನುಶೋಚಸ್ತಂ, ಯು ಆರ್ ಗ್ರೀವಿಂಗ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಶೋಚ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಗ್ರೀವ್, ಅನುಶೋಚ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಗ್ರೀವ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ರಿಪೀಟೆಡ್ಲಿ. ಓವರ್ ವಾಟ್? ಅಶೋಚ್ಯಾನ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ದಿ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರೀವ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಗ್ರೀವಿಂಗ್ ಓವರ್ ದಮ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಹೂ? ಗ್ರೀವಿಂಗ್ ಓವರ್ ಗುರು, ಗ್ರೀವಿಂಗ್ ಓವರ್ ಭೀಷ್ಮ ಪಿತಾಮ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಇನ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಒನ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಫೈಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಗುರು. ಬಟ್ ದೆನ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸೆಡ್ ನೋ, ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಯುವರ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟಿ, ಸೊ ದರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಯು ಗೋ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫೈಟ್. ಅಗೇನ್ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್, ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಮೈ ಗುರು, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಪೂಜಾರ್ಹ, ದೇ ಆರ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ಫುಲ್. ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೆವರ್ ಡ್ರೆಮ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ದಮ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಕೇರ್ ಓ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶೂಟ್ ಅಟ್ ದಮ್. ನೋ ನೋ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ರಿಪೀಟೆಡ್ ಥಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್, ಇಟ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಸಬ್ಸೈಡ್ ಬೈ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್. ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಗ್ರೀಫ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಶೋಯಿಂಗ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ದಿ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಗ್ರೀಫ್. ಯು ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕ್ರೈ ಓವರ್ ದಮ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾವಾದಾಂಶ್ಚ ಭಾಷಸೆ, ಭಾಷಸೆ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್. ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾವಾದ, ವಾದ ಇಸ್ ಡೈಲಾಗ್ ಸ್ಪೀಚ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಆಸ್ ದೋ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಚ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾಜಿಕ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್. ಬಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಒನ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಫಾಲ್ಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಯೂಸ್ಲೆಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್. ಯು ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಫೈಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವಾರ್ ದೆರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೊಸೈಟಿ. ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರೂ. ವೆರೆವರ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾರ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್, ಪೀಪಲ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡೈ, ಬೋತ್ ಸೈಡ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ್ ಪ್ರಿಡಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಡ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದ ಕ್ಷತ್ರಿಯ ವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ವಾರ್. Therefore, we see this whole society or the system went into more of a passive way. Things became more passive. Society, the mental thinking also became more passive. When the rajas are there, they're ruling, the guidance or the administration is more strong. But then Parikshit came. He only ruled for a little bit. And after that, what happened? There was no king to take over. So everything came back to just the communities, those people around. They don't know what they were doing. They kept doing whatever they did. And few washed up people with their thinking, they guided them for their own benefits, I guess. So the society did go into degradation. And then we had this princely states where people then took ownership of these little places. But the idea is that what Arjun said was valid. It was not wrong. So his words were there, but it was not right at the right time. That is what is meant by prajñāvāda. You have understood the concept, but you have not understood when to apply that concept. If you had thought of this before the war, that would have been different. So in your words, what you are saying makes sense. In your deed, it doesn't make sense. Your action is of cowardice, but your word is of vice. There is a difference there. So that is what he is calling as prajñāvāda. As a kshatriya, you should fight, but you are not fighting. As a kshatriya, you are taking a stand back. This is what is meant by prajñāvāda. But you know who is a pandita? Bhagavan says, panditaha. Panditaha are those people who have panda. They are called pandita, those people who have panda. Panda means intelligence. Those people who are Atmajnani, they are knowing the truth or the knowing the self. Such people are called Pandita, wise scholars. So this Pandita, they na anushochanti, they do not grieve. You are grieving. That means you are not a Pandita. Because Pandita, when it comes to gatasun, agatasun, na shochanti, na anushochanti. Gatasun means gata pranan. When the life force that sustains the livelihood, that has gone. Meaning when a person dies. Or agatasun, meaning when they are living. When a person is living or when the person is dead, a wise pandit will not grieve over them again and again and again. Now, when should we grieve and when we should not grieve? That is the point that Bhagavan is raising. To grieve over that which is false does not make sense. That which has some level of validity, some truth, and you grieve over it, that makes sense. Your shadow is casted, and you know, all of a sudden somebody comes and puts their heavy bag on your shadow. And you say, I am feeling so much pressurized today. Why, what happened? All this pressure on my shadow. And I don't know how to lift it up. When you have associated with your shadow, then grieving over that is sounding foolish only. But if you have known that it is a shadow, then what is the purpose to grieve? The body here, Arjun, that you are seeing in this war, they are shadow. And therefore, because they are shadow, they are not worthy of grief. They are temporary. They are not going to be here forever. Therefore, they are not worthy of your grief, and therefore you should not grieve over them. It makes sense to grieve, but it does not make sense to grieve over and over so that you just lose your functionality. I can't go home anymore. Because the shadow is pulling me down. This weight on the shadow. I have to stay stuck to this chair the whole time. How nonsense does it sound? But if somebody is thinking like that, then there is something wrong in their thinking. That's what Arjuna is doing is, he's taken this shadow to such an extent that he's saying, I don't want to fight. Because I will destroy all these shadows. That is what is anushochanti means. And a wise do not grieve over living or dead. Living, it makes sense. Why do you not want to grieve over that which is living? Because they're living with you. You're enjoying your time. You're enjoying your sukha and dukkha with them. But dead also you should not grieve. One reason is clear. That when we grieve, we forget that the life has to go on. The show doesn't stop because a person has departed. The show must go on. So in order for that to go on, we have to continue doing. So there where we stop our activity because we are so much in grief, that is what Bhagavan is saying is, a Pandita does not do that. Pandit knows that there is a point and time to grieve, but then there is point and time to not let it go, let it be. And the other is, if we always invested our emotions in body, that I considered this body to be my relation, then obviously I will grieve again and again. But if my relation was beyond the body, then that person's thinking, that person's empowerment, that person's knowledge, all of that would be with me forever. It cannot stop. Body cannot stop it. I will be empowered and be motivated to do whatever I want to do, wherever I go, whenever I go. There's no point in time that the person won't be with me. So it depends on what you take it to be your focus point. So Pandit does not take temporary to be their focus point. Therefore, they do not grieve. But Arjun, you are grieving, which tells me that you are taken up shadow. Therefore, Anushochandi. And Pragnyavadam Shabhashase. Speaking as though you are one of the scholars and saying wise, wise things. Now here, with this shloka, Bhagavan is telling Arjun and telling everybody that the whole topic of chapter 12 or chapter 2 is going to be about these two points. Ashochyananvashochastam pragnyavadamascha bhashase. Okay, fine, you tell me that I should not grieve over things that are not worthy of grief. But how am I convinced that this is not worthy of grief? Why should I think that this body or this personality is not worthy of grief? I'm not convinced. So in order for Arjun to be convinced, Bhagavan has to expand on this topic of what is Ashochyan and why it is not worthy to grieve over. And then he talks about what is the Prajnavada. How, Arjun, you have been saying so many wise things, but what is truly a Prajnavada? What is truly considered a wise thing to say and to do? So the topic that is taken up first from shloka number 12 to approximately shloka number 31 or so is all relating to Ashochyan and Vashochastam. Grieving over things that is not worthy of grief. So what is that? Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natvam neme janadhipaha. Nachaiva na bhavishyamah. Sarve vayamatah param. Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natvam neme janadhipaha. Nachaiva na bhavishyamah. Sarve vayamatah param. Aham, the first pada where it says natvevaham, aham, that aham. Okay. Nasam. Nasam you split into two. Na asam. Okay. Aham asam. Okay. Asam means be. Na asam. Aham asam. I am. Or I was. Here it is talking in past tense. I was. Aham na asam. I was not. Okay. Na aham na asam. Not that I was not. Not that I was not. Meaning, I was. Okay. When? In past. Jatu. Jatu, in past. Na aham na asam. In past, it was not that I was not there. That is the literal translation. In past, it was not that I was not there. Natvam, and also not you. In the past, it was not that you were not there. You were also there. Na ime janadhipaha. And in the past, also not these, ime, all these. Janadhipaha. Adhipaha, the rulers of jana, of the people. So these kings, these rulers, it was not that in past that they were not there. Okay. So meaning they were also there in the past. Nacha eva na bhavishyamaha. Nacha means it is not that in future, bhavishyamaha, in future, na. Na asam. Asam you have to supply. Or not asam. Bhavishyamaha is kind of telling that they will not be. So, not that in future they will not be. Okay. That means they will be in future. You will also be in future. I will also be in future. Okay. So, not that in the past I was not there, you were not there, all these people were not there. Not that in future they will not be there, you will not be there, I will not be there. We will all be there in past and in future. And obviously, you cannot talk about present because we are here. So, present is understood. Sarve, all of us, vayam. Sarve vayam, all of us, ataha, therefore, param, are supreme. Therefore, we are supreme. Now, you know, it may seem kind of confusing. What is this talking about? Why is Bhagavan so speaking in such a confusing language? But do you think, which emotion is stronger for us? Is a positive emotion stronger or negative emotion stronger? Negative is much stronger. You tell somebody, don't hate. They will hate. Tell somebody, don't do. They will do. But then you tell somebody to do, they will still not do. They'll have to be told so many times, then they probably will do. So, the emotion that is negative is used in double negative. So that it sticks in Arjuna's head. If Bhagavan told, you know, in past I was also there, you were also there, all these people were also there, okay, fine. But it is not that I was not there in past. And then Bhagavan uses aham first, I, to show to Bhagavan, to Arjun, that here, Bhagavan is not talking about him as a person. If Bhagavan had said to Arjun first that it was not that in past you were not there, Arjun would have had a question in mind. What are you saying? You're lying to me already. The lying portion comes a little bit down the road. You started already. I know I was not there in past, and you are telling me I was there in past. So again, association is with body. Bhagavan puts himself first because even if Bhagavan says a word, Arjun takes it with faith. Trying to understand, having understood and not, or not having understood, he asks question. This doesn't make sense to me. But if he were to say to him, that you were not, you were there in past, all these people were there in past, he would readily dismiss the point. So here, he will not dismiss the point. He would want to inquire. Therefore, Bhagavan puts himself first, that I was there in past. Have faith in me. You were also there. All these people were also there. And then he distinguishes about what he's referring to in the past and in the future. Because we all know, he cannot mean body. Because if Bhagavan means body, then he is wrong. body is not there in past. All the bodies cannot be there in past. At certain point, yes, maybe all the bodies are there in past. Like just about half an hour ago, all the bodies were here. That is past. And all the bodies will be here about half an hour later. But to say that everybody was there in past together at certain point cannot mean all the bodies. So here the reference is to the Atma, and to signify that there is a difference, he uses the word tu, na tu, to kind of signify that there's a difference in context. It is not talking about the context of body. This Atma in the past was there, my Atma, your Atma, everybody's Atma was there, and this Atma alone will go and be in future. And because it is able to transcend the body at all times, therefore it is Param, supreme. What can you call supreme? That which surpasses everything. We can only call iPhone supreme because it is in the market better than all the other phones. If it were not, you cannot call it supreme. Sure, you may have doubts, but that is not the case. Whatever we call as supreme has to have certain X factor. The X factor of this Atma is, it transcends everything. It is beyond the time. Vayam atah param. Therefore, we are beyond. So, Arjun, if you were thinking yourself to be body, and you were grieving that you are going to kill the body, separate yourself from this body and see yourself then. And when you see yourself, tell me, is there a reason to grieve over this Atma? Because there is not, it did not die in the past, and it is not going to die in the future. Why would you grieve over something that is not going away? So, na anushochanti. There is no reason for you to grieve. No, that doesn't make sense. Can you give some example? Bhagavan says, sure, I'll give you an example of what I mean, that which was there in past and in future and in present. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe. Kaumaram yauvanam jaram. Tatha dehantara praptihi. Dhirastatra namuhyatim. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe. Kaumaram yauvanam jaram. Tatha dehantara praptihi. Dhirastatra namuhyatim. Dehinaha. Dehinaha, the one who is possessing body, is called Dehinaha. Now that means what? This word gives a very good clue. Which you possess, you are not. Okay. Whatever you possess, you are not. You fly in on the airport and they give you a seat number, right? So you possess that seat, correct? Somebody says, can I sit here? I say, no, this is my seat. I specifically asked for this aisle seat so that I can have my legs stretched out. She won't give. Then the flight lands and you are packing up everything. And then you try to lift that chair out. And then the stewardess or whoever that attendant is says, sir, what are you doing? I'm taking this seat with me, says on the ticket. Doesn't make sense, right? We won't do that because we know that we were only sitting on that for a time being. We know we were not the seat. The possession was there. Separation is brought about. Moment I know that I am not the body, I am something other than the body. I am possessing the body. That means the possessor has to be somebody different than the body. You possess a phone. You're not the phone. You're somebody other than the phone. You possess your clothes. That means you're not the clothes. You're something other than the clothes. Similarly, when I possess the body, the possessor is different than the possessed. Body is possessed, not by any evil spirit. It is possessed by the self only. You yourself are possessing it. You have a control of this body. Okay. Asmin dehe, in this body. Just as how, yatha, just as, kaumaram, yovanam, jara, pashyati. I'm supplying the word pashyati there. So this person who is possessing this body, in the body, just as how sees the kaumaravastha, the stage of infancy, yovanavastha, the stage of youth, and jaravastha, decay, getting old, sees all of this. Okay. When you see the change in your body, do you see that you also have changed? Not talking about your mind. That person who was there as a child, do you say to yourself that you are no longer that child? You are somebody else? Or do you say to yourself that when you go old, that will be somebody else, it will not be me. I never get old. I will always stay in the middle stage of youth. We know body is going through the change, but I who was seeing the change has been constant. I was the same child who has grown up to be a youth and who only will become old. Do you have any confusion about this thought? Nobody should have confusion because it's a very clear-cut example. If you're possessing the body, if you're the body, then you won't know it. You won't know the change. But we all know the change because we know that we are possessing the body. Such is the beauty of the Atma. So that who possesses the body can see the change of kaumara, yovana, jara. Now another amazing thought here is this. The past stage was kaumaram. The future stage to come is jara. They are now in present of youth. They're calling themselves as youth. Arjun, you are youth. Don't think of yourself as a 60-year-old man. You are a youth. So fight like a youth. Think like a youth. Because in past also, you were there. In future also, you will be there. Just as how kaumaravastha was there in the past for the body, and jaravastha will be there in future for the body. But confusion comes about is what happens after death. Atma is not there after death. You are telling me, yes, Atma is there, This continues and sees, but it is only up till this birth. Once the body falls, then where is the Atma? Can you show me a proof that Atma continues? There we don't have a knowledge. There, confusion can arise. But dhiraha tatra na muhyati. A person who is dhira. Dhira means one who has dhi, intelligence. But this intelligence is how? The intelligence is rooted in scriptures out of faith. Or dhira is one who has seen the truth and seen the reality of this Atma. Okay, one who knows the reality of the Atma, or one who has faith in the scriptures as to what this Atma is and has understood it that way. For such a person, a confusion will not arise of what happens after death to this Dehi. My confusion, my clarity of the change in body and changeless Atma is only up till from birth to death. Correct? Unless you know your past birth and future births. If you know, then you won't have any confusion. But a normal, ordinary person doesn't have such knowledge. So for them, the confusion is possible of what happens before birth, because I don't know. And what happens after death? I don't know. Does this Atma continue? Does this Atma die when the body dies? There's so much confusion. In such a confusion, a person who is dhiraha does not get confused. Tatha dehantaraha dehantara praptihi. Just as how there is a kaumara, yovana, jara, avastha happening for this dehi in the body, same way this dehi will continue after death. Deha antara, after the body falls, after the death, after the end of the body, Atma will continue. And if I were to say that Atma will continue, there will be confusion for an ordinary person. But Arjun, for a dhira, there is no confusion, because he knows this Atma to be himself. For dhira, there is no confusion because he has faith in the scriptures that I am this Atma, therefore it never perishes. Therefore, there is no confusion. The point of this is that if Atma is continuous, there is no reason to grieve for this Atma. You only grieve over that which you are going to lose. You can never lose your own self. And if you think that you are going to lose yourself, then check your own body. Your body has changed. The bone structure, the cells that you have are completely new. You don't have the same cells that you had when you were a child. Changed. But yet you, the personal, that person is still there. You, that existent Atma, is still there. You don't feel somebody new. And you witness the changed. Similarly, the changeless will always continue even after death. Therefore, no reason to grieve, Arjun. You should get up and fight. The idea, again, the thought is, when we distance ourselves from that which is changing, and we stay with changeless, we easily come out of our grief. simplest way. Instead of tackling this idea, I have so much grief, so much worry. How will I resolve all of this? What do I need to do to resolve all of these situations? Instead of struggling to do that, you take that out of your thinking, put it on a table, and observe it. Watch your worries. And as you watch your worries, see for yourself that those worries are no longer your worry. You've put them out. We are only burdened by our worries when we put it on us. And when we put it on us, that when we feel that I have to carry this much weight, you put it on the side, and then you observe it, you have put the load off, and therefore you have no worries. Arjun has not done that. We also have not done that. We can only do that when we remove it and are worryless. So an easier way to get rid of our worries is put it aside. Sure, put it aside, then I have to put it back on, right? Yeah, you can put it back on, but that is up to us when you want to put it back on. Who is telling you to put it back on? You can easily resolve it before that. Or you can know how to come out of it. But the idea is whenever you separate yourselves, separate ourselves from the mind and our worries, we will always find peace. Right? It is a very magical thing that happens. So, when you do that, this is what Bhagavan is telling Arjun. Separate yourself from your worries and you will see the truth. More of this, we'll see with that coming weeks. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.